Would you open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 9? John chapter 9. My friend Paul Birch has a very sophisticated PA system, in particular, a soundboard, much like we have back there, although you wouldn't believe. That soundboard is very, very functional. I think it sounds great, but it's very, very much out of date these days. And Paul got a rather sophisticated one at one point. It's digital. It's computerized. Those controls that move up and down back there, they're called sliders. And on Paul's board, the sliders are automated. So you can have the board set for a particular room, or for, at that point we were doing some recording at his house, working on our latest soon-to-be-rejected hit song. And when it was over, I went over. I thought, well, I'll help him put things up. And I thought, well, I'll turn off the PA and then start coiling up cords. I was looking for the on and off switch. And after a few baffled moments, I said, Paul, how do you turn this thing off? And he says, wait, let me show you. And he came over. This thing has a touch screen on it. And he tapped out a certain sequence on the touch screen. And then he looked at me and says, now you reach over and you press this button on the back and it goes off. And I thought, good grief. All I wanted to do was turn it off. And it was just so much more complicated than that. I say that because when I'm in pain, when I'm experiencing grief or sorrow, honestly, all I want is a way to turn it off. And so often it seems so much more complicated than that. There was a character in a rather whimsical movie a few years ago, and he had a device he took out of his pocket. He called it a putter-outer. And As he would snap it, like you might snap a lighter, the lampposts, the light from the lamppost would be sucked into it. And as a sometimes stargazer, I thought, I want one of those, because nothing can wash out the stars in the night sky like bright street lights. And in the providence of God, we have two bright street lights on our corner. And just the idea that you could click it and wink it out, I thought, I want one. I wish I had something like that when I talk to people in pain, too. Or when people in pain talk to me, I wish I could flick a switch and all of the pain and all of the sorrow and all of the hurt and all of the grief, all of the regret and all of the fear and all of the anguish and all of the bitterness would just come out of their lives. And I'll be very honest with you. So very often I feel so very helpless when people are in pain. I don't mean to make light of this at all, but our sister Sharon Jones, I hope she's feeling some better. But she's told me several times, I can't take any more of this. And I've just been praying, God, help her to feel a little better. Give her some hope. I wish there was something more that I could do. Have you ever met somebody you just wish there was something you could do to make it stop hurting? Can I give you what may be a new thought? Did you know that if you or I could do that for someone, it just might be the worst possible thing for them? Because it turns out that God has a purpose in our pain. God has a plan for our lives. I love the end of Psalm 138. The Lord will fulfill His purposes for me. It meant something to me when I turned 40 and so many of my sandcastles had been washed away. That doesn't mean I'll fulfill all my purposes or that you'll fulfill all your purposes, but God will fulfill all His purposes for you. Psalm 139, 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And sometimes I'll tell people, some days we would never have written for ourselves. The Lord is my shepherd. Some of the paths we would never have chosen for ourselves. But God's plan and purpose for your life includes, overwhelms, and overcomes the pain in your life. Now, what possible purpose could God have in pain? I want to show you several things from the scriptures. The first purpose would be to reveal his works. In John chapter 9, in the Gospel of John, the Bible says concerning Jesus, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And this next verse will make no sense to our modern ears. His disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And you think, well, how in the world? A baby in the womb can't sin. Actually, rabbis in that day trying to explain why, for instance, a baby would be born blind, the only thing they could come up with is that somehow the baby must have sinned in the womb. So they taught that you could mess up life before you even started life. And so it was an honest question. Or that God is punishing the baby because of something bad the parents did. Again, that's warped thinking, but this was part of what they thought. People think this way today. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. The works of God literally might be illustrated in him. Old Orthodox and Catholic churches in the Middle East are kind of gaudy to our Western sensibilities. But to those who were raised in that environment, particularly in the pre-modern age, things like ornate stained glass windows and all of the color and the incense and all that, that was kind of their multimedia approach. That was how they were impacting all of the senses to try to convey the truths of Scripture. In the Middle Ages, there were monks who made what they called illuminated texts, and they would take the Gospels and not just copy them out carefully, but on some of the pages, up in the corner or even an entire page, they would do the most elaborate illustrations. And some of them had gold leaf on them. They were very colorful. And again, we might look at some of them and think, well, that's a little gaudy. Do you really need that when you want to read the Bible? But they believed that they were glorifying God with their artwork. That when somebody turned the page and revealed the illustration, and it took their breath away in a moment, that was for the glory of God. It was to reveal and draw attention to his work and his word. Sometimes in our pain, God reveals his works. We don't like this one, but sometimes his purpose in our pain is to discipline his children. This is the part we don't like about, oh, it's wonderful. We come to Jesus, we put our faith in him, and God makes us his child. But he won't let you act like somebody else's kid. I won't read all of this, but in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper and the way the Corinthian church was abusing it, and they were doing outrageous things, really. And Paul tells them bluntly, that's why many of you are weak and ill, and some have fallen asleep. Literally, he means died. Because of the way you're abusing the Lord's Supper, some of you have gotten sick, and some of you have died. Now you think, good grief, how can God overreact? I mean, and yet what you need to understand in the infancy of the church, when everything was crucial, God was protecting his church, like the death of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 6 and so on. And here's the thing. Let me read to you at least part of a passage from Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. I'm starting in verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. I'm not going to give you the literal English translation of that verse because you'd be offended. If you belong to God and you disobey him, he's going to discipline you. He starts out gently. Keep turning a deaf ear. And as C.S. Lewis said, God speaks to us in our pain, and pain is his megaphone. Now, not all pain is punishment. Athletes go through practices, and you can't look at it and say, oh my, they look like they're enjoying themselves. Musicians go through practice, and it's a joy to play music when you're prepared, but sometimes when you're learning a difficult fingering or a difficult piece, it's just work. You have boot camp for soldiers, and our friend Bob Hubble, with the Lord now these many years, he was in physical therapy at Glenburn, and he called that boot camp. The physical therapy they put you through sometimes is painful. My dad told me, he says, that lady comes to my house after my knee surgery, says she about kills me. But it was also he could get the use of his knee back. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't do this for everybody. I had a deacon, a rather outspoken deacon, in a church at Bedford back when Burger King, remember Burger King? Not Burger King, Burger Chef. Burger King's down the road. Anyway, he was sitting in a Burger Chef in Bedford, Indiana, and behind him there was a lady with a very ill-behaved boy. And this deacon's name was Scott, and at one point he turned around and said, "Lady, if you'd box that kid's ears, we'd all be happier." He said, after that, they both got real quiet, and for some reason they didn't want to talk to me anymore. Here's the thing. We might all be thinking that, but it's not our kid. We used to not let our kids get away with stuff, and oh my word, they would fight us. And I remember once when our son Josh was an adult, he was talking about some ill-behaved kid he saw in public, and he said, "My parents would never have let me behave like that." And I thought, where was that attitude when you were six? We could have used some of that back then, you know. At a Cub Scout meeting I went to with my father, there were a number of us cutting up and kind of acting up in the meeting. But afterwards, I was the only one my dad scolded because those others weren't his kids. God expects different things from us. Sometimes our pain is because of his discipline. Sometimes we go through pain, at least part of the purpose of it is so that we might comfort others. Now, I'm going to give you a very dense couple of verses here. You ready? Blessed be the... This is 2 Corinthians 3 and verse... 2 Corinthians verse 1... Chapter... Hello, it's the microphone. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You ready? Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Even in modern English, that's kind of dense. Can we call in a lifeline? I have more different versions of the scriptures on my phone. I've got at least, I don't know, somewhere between 8 and 12. This is the message. It's a paraphrase. There's nothing sinister about a paraphrase. It would be like you're reading the scripture and your child says, "What does that mean?" And you'd say, "Well, in other words, it means this," and you paraphrase it. That's what Eugene Peterson has done here. Listen, all praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. Here it is. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Sometimes our pain is to enable us to comfort others. Sometimes, particularly if a note is amplified, a note that I play on my guitar can cause a string on someone else's instrument to resonate. The reason I pluck this string, this low A, that's a particularly troublesome frequency when you're amplifying stringed instruments. It has a tendency to, they call that feedback. But it starts out when you pluck it, and sometimes somebody else's instrument will resonate with that same note. That's called sympathetic vibration. Your pain is tuning your heart to the heart of other people who experience the same kind of pain. I'm sure it was obvious, maybe too obvious, but when Bobby came with his family and he'd just been chewed up and spit out by a church. I've been chewed up and spit out by a couple different churches. Been there, done that, got the bloody, tattered t-shirts. It just resonated with me. And all I wanted to do, and all I still want to do, really, is just encourage him. Because I've been through it, and at some point down the line, he's going to be able to do the same thing to some other young pastor. And whatever your pain is, God's purpose in it at least is to enable you at some point down the line to comfort someone else. Sometimes God's purpose in our pain is to advance the good news, to advance the gospel. Keep in mind the Apostle Paul, oh my goodness, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned, and so many other things just for the sake of the gospel. And he told in a letter to people he was writing to, he said, I want you to know the things that have happened to me have been for the furtherance of the gospel. Can you imagine? Sometimes he was chained to a Roman soldier. Do you suppose he woke up in the morning and said, wonder who I'm going to talk to about Jesus today? Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure, that's the gospel, in jars of clay. That's us. That's our body. And most of the time our jars are cracked. But we want Jesus' light to shine through the cracks. We're cracked pots for God. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And then he said a few verses down, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Imagine a wheel with three spokes. And the first spoke is suffering. The second spoke is faith. The third spoke is speaking. Here's what I mean by that. This is often the process God uses to spread his message to others. First, there's suffering. Our suffering throws us onto God. Whether we like it or not, it increases our faith. And then we have opportunity to speak. Sometimes the purpose in your pain is to advance the gospel. Sometimes the purpose in your pain is to purify your faith. Simon Peter, who knew something himself of suffering, church tradition says that he was crucified in Rome. And by his own request, he said, I'm not worthy to die like my master. And he asked to be crucified upside down. That's why St. Peter's cross is an upside down cross. And so Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1, verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, for a little while, you've been grieved by various trials. Wouldn't it have been great to have been an apostle? Just to have that kind of access to God and be able to ask Him for anything and get your prayers answered like that. That's what we think sometimes. That's not their experience. Listen to what Paul the apostle said. All the visions he had of the third heaven, of God's abode, he said, it's not lawful for me to talk about. And he said, 2 Corinthians 12:7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. He's not specific about what the thorn was. Was it an ailment? Was it literal demonic harassment? Pastors tend to think it was a specific person that was giving him problems. Whatever it was, he said, this thorn was given to me to keep me from being conceited. Listen to this. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this. This doesn't mean he just said a brief, half-hearted prayer and went on. He pleaded. He begged. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord. Notice he uses past tense. He's not doing it anymore. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes God's purpose in our pain is to purify our faith. Did you know that there's actually a benefit to forest fires? I know that our planet is off kilter, and I know that sometimes things like forest fires get out of control. And yet, forest fires actually clear out the dense undergrowth in a forest, and it allows the sunlight to reach the forest floor. It re-enriches the soil with the charred remains of burnt plants, and there are certain kinds of plants that will never grow without forest fires. And there's certain kinds of growth in your life and mine that will never occur apart from pain. I don't ever remember experiencing growing pains as a kid. Maybe I did, and I just don't remember it. But I've met kids, especially the ones that really shoot up and their legs ache and all that. They're in pain, and yet they're growing. Sometimes God's purpose in your pain is to purify your faith. Sometimes God's purpose in your pain is to help you sense God's presence. Peter also said this, though you have not seen him, you love him. Talking about Jesus. You have not seen him. You love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There was a great doctor of the church. He's called Thomas a Kempis, Thomas from Kempis. I might be getting this wrong. I think he is the one that wrote volumes on theology, and then about 2 days before he died, praying by himself in the chapel, he had some kind of experience with God that left him near speechless, and he told his assistant that it made everything he'd written up to that point seem like so much dust. And then he died, and he saw the one that he'd been worshiping and writing about. Thomas a Kempis said that sometimes God withdraws himself from us so that we might know the sweetness of his presence. Sometimes God withdraws himself from us so that we might know the sweetness of his presence. I said to a young man not long ago, hasn't been married very long, I said, you know, when I, my wife is not home, the house feels different. And he didn't mean to be rude or brusque. He said, oh, yeah, you know, she's got the radio on or the TV and she's banging around in the kitchen or whatever. And I'm thinking, no, even when I can't hear her, sometimes I'm upstairs. When I'm upstairs and I know she's not, the house feels different. But sometimes I'll walk in thinking she's home, and I'll open the door, and immediately I'll think, she's off somewhere. She's out running around again. And usually I'll say, ahoy the boat, hello. But I can tell immediately, it just feels different. There's something more. It's more than just, sometimes I can't hear her anyway, and I still feel her in the house. And it just makes when she is there, her presence all the more precious to me. I remember when I used to think eating out all the time was living the life. My wife and kids went home to visit her family once, and I was by myself in Clay City, and this is how I thought in those days. I thought, I'm going to eat a different kind of hamburger and fries every day. By the end of the week, it wasn't so much fun, but I'm to the point now, I'd rather eat leftovers at home with her than eat out in a restaurant by myself. All that to say, there are times in your walk with God, you will have such a sense of His presence, and there are times when you'll think, where are you, God? That doesn't mean God's abandoned you. That doesn't mean He's mad at you. That doesn't mean there's something specifically wrong with you, that you're not good enough or you wouldn't be going through this. Goodness gracious, folks, read the Psalms. So many of them start out with, where are you, Lord? I cry out to you. I wait for you. My throat is hoarse because I'm crying out for you. But sometimes our pain is to help us have a sense of God's precious presence. God has a purpose in your pain. Here's the good news. Your pain is temporary. Sometimes I bring this verse up with fear and trembling to people who are going through very, very hard things. And I usually preface it and tell them, I'm hesitant to tell you this. But here's what Paul said. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Light, momentary affliction. It doesn't seem light when we're going through it, but compared to what God has for you. Listen to what Peter said. He said, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And then he says, to Him be the dominion forever and ever, dominion even over our pain. So what do? Commit yourself to God. Just like our little niece Paige, a few weeks ago, I told you when she was small and she looked at all the traffic and she just grabbed me around my neck and she wrapped her legs around my torso and she just buried her face in my neck. By faith, do something like that with God. Just commit yourself to Him. Just cast yourself upon Him. And one more scripture, Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait, I say, for the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes life hurts, and sometimes it hurts more than we can say. And sometimes, Father, there are people we love who are going through such pain. God, have mercy on them. Give them your grace. Give us your grace. Help us to remember it's not because we live in a random world and none of it means a thing. You have a purpose in our pain just as much as you had a purpose in Christ's crucifixion. It may be Friday now, but Sunday's coming. The resurrection is coming. Your purpose in our pain to be revealed. Help us to wait on you, Lord Jesus. Help us to trust you, we pray. In your holy name, amen.